Hey, hi everybody. We're going to give it a few more minutes and let people get on board. Can I get an identifier for KG?
Can you hear me, Gail?
Yes. Oh, Karen. Yes,
It's
thank you.
Karen. Yes,
Of
you can
course.
rename me. I don't
Okay.
usually join by my phone, so it's.
Yep. No, thank you.
Thank you.
And we've got board member Mark Carlson Van Dort. Good evening. And Axel's on. And Virgil's on. So, and Chuck McCallum. Okay. I need to get more AC members on. Can we get an identifier for a number ending in 265?
Hi, my name is Sam Decker.
Oh, hi, Sam.
Assistant manager for the summer season.
Yep. I should recognize your number. Hi, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Good, thanks. Just waiting for a few more AC members. George Anderson. Hi, George.
Hello, Gail. Hi.
Are you doing? We're just waiting for a few more AC members.
Okay, sure thing. One good thing about nighttime meeting, not many conflicts, right? Yeah.
Well, actually, the governor's address is tonight. Everybody wants to see that, yeah. Seems like we've been having a lot of meetings at night lately. I don't know if Kyle's the one to judge on that. He's been putting in the hours for all these meetings.
Yeah.
Okay, let's see if I can get a few more. Jim Simon. I need some more AC. Can we get a clarification on number ending in 580? Number 580 phone number? Phone number ending in 580, can you identify yourself?
This is Virgil. Is Mike Kramer on?
Not yet. I talked to him earlier today. He was going to get on. And I know Tinker's on the East Coast. He's going to try to get on.
Well, his daughter was skiing in the World University Championship, and she got the silver medal yesterday. She's on the front page of today's paper in Fairbanks.
I missed it.
15-kilometer mass start. That's 10 miles.
Well, good for her. Yeah. I will have to congratulate Mike. Good for her.
Yeah, and she only missed first by 0.4 of a second, and it was a teammate, but it's one that is actually from Estonia that beat her.
Oh, wow. Wow. Well, yeah, she's been doing great. Yeah, I'll have to congratulate him.
So UAF women got first and second.
Wow. Can I get an ID and phone number ending in 069?
Hi, yes. Good evening. This is Rachel Allen from Chignik.
Oh, hi, Rachel. Thank you. I'm glad you're on. Thank you.
Thanks for letting me be here.
You do a beautiful job on Minutes. I have to congratulate you.
Thank you. They are a labor of love. I'm sure everybody knows that. The secretary.
Really? No kidding. No, nice job. Okay. It is 6:06. I think I'm going to call to order. And because I do have members that have called in. Chuck Derrick is traveling, and also Mark Richards was not sure, but I think he's traveling. So we have a lot of our members that may not be here, but at our last AC meeting, our full AC delegated authority to this group. And John, go ahead, you've got your hand up.
Oh, I was going to let you know I was here, Gail.
Yeah, no, we got you. John Siegfried, right?
No, John Wiz.
Oh, good. All right. It just says John's iPad, and I thought it was John Siegfried. Okay. Is John Siegfried on?
Yeah, it should be John's iPad. That's me.
Oh, yeah, that is.
That's John.
You're John Tablet. You're John S. Tablet.
Yeah, John Tablet. That's it.
Okay. Yeah, good. Okay, so we're going to go start, I think Mike Kramer might jump on soon. He's going to be calling us.
I was just able to get on, Gail. I'm here.
Oh, you're here. Wonderful. Thank you. Okay, so we're going to go ahead and get started. Here's the process for tonight. We're going to make it short and sweet, hopefully. I was just announcing that our full AC did delegate authority for submitting the proposals to the Board of Fish on a timely manner, and then as a subcommittee. And then when we meet in February for the full AC, they will send in an RC record copy for their approval on our votes and the minutes as well. So, we're not that formal at the subcommittee level, but I do have all of the members down who are here, and we will be listening to the information that Dina Jones is going to give from the AYK board meeting, and then I'll go into public comments. And then once we start deliberations and the proposals, we will not take any public comments. I just want to try to get through this as quickly as we can. So anybody in the public who has a comment on any proposal, please, when we come to that period, do so before the deliberations. And with that in mind, sadly, speaking of minutes, I wish we had Rachel as our scribe because I'm way behind on minutes, and I did not get them done. And so they will have to wait until the next AC meeting on February 6th on the subcommittee meeting. So we're going to go right into discussion. And if Dina, if you would like to begin this discussion on the AYK proposal action, that'd be great.
Oh, goodness. Hi, Gail. Can you hear me?
I can. Thank you. I hope we didn't surprise you. Christy said that you would be able to do that.
Let's see. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, we can hear you. Can you hear us?
I can, yes. My Zoom keeps going on and off mute. So it looks like it's off mute now. Anyway, this is Dina John with the department. Can you still hear me?
Okay.
All right. Sorry. So I'll give a brief summary. We did go through just the notes that we took as staff during the meeting, and so these may have errors and omissions, and if there's anything that needs to be corrected, there'll be more advisory announcements and, of course, the final results later on from the board. I'll just go through the proposals that we were involved with, more or less. Proposal 63 and 64 that had to do with Chattanooga Harvest Area pike harvests. Those both failed. Those are sport fish proposals, or those are just Chattanooga harvest area type proposals. Proposal 65 passed. So that's while sport fishing in the Tanana River. If a salmon is removed from the water, it must be kept and counted towards bag and possession limits. The next proposal that we were taking care of was Proposal 79, which passed, and that was to allow hook and line for subsistence up to and including the Keokuk River, extending it upstream from the Nulato River. And amendments to Proposal 84 further extended the area for allowing hook and line for subsistence gear, and I'll talk about that with Proposal 84. Proposal 80 was withdrawn. That was proposed by John H. Lamont and would have had Middle and Upper Yukon King Salmon harvest permits. He withdrew that at the meeting. Proposal 81 failed. That was a 24-inch king permit harvest proposals from the Fairbanks AC. Proposal 82, the board took no action, and it will be taken up at the statewide meeting. That has to do with sinking of gillnets, and there's an RC to consider that you may want to discuss and maybe vote on as an AC before February 23rd. Proposal 83 passed. That had to do with personal use fishery maximum mesh size of 6-inch in the fall season. Proposal 84 passed as amended, and that was our big subsistence gear repeal and replace for the gear regulations. So some notable changes in that really big proposal was that during times of conservation, by emergency order, we can require the release of any salmon species. So it allowed us to require the release of coho in times of fall chum conservation. And the conservation gear types that can be used and have applied to for all salmon species include dip nets, fish wheels, beach seines, and hook and line gear. We already had a regulation on the book that allows us to require release of salmon from hook and line gear, and we had beach seines as a conservation option for king salmon, but not for fall chum and coho. Also during times of conservation, gillnets may be restricted by length, distance from shore, mesh size, and may be required to be operated as a set net. The mesh size options that we have now include 4 inches smaller, which we would typically use for non-salmon, 4.75 inches smaller, which we would use when we're trying to target pink salmon, 6 inches smaller if we're trying to target kings and preserve king salmon, or target chums and conserve king salmon, or exactly 7.5 inch if there's a case where we are trying to target kings and conserve chum and smaller species. As I mentioned before, subsistence fishing with a hook and line is now allowable for salmon and non-salmon in the Yukon area, and this does not include the Tanana River drainage. So you can use hook and line for salmon and non-salmon year-round, and no sport fishing license is required. This extended that area upstream from the Nulato River to include the rest of the Yukon area, not including District 6. So there are some closed waters where subsistence fishing is not allowed, such as along the highway corridors. In the Dall River, a sport fish license will still be required. And in the permit areas of District 5, a subsistence permit will still be required, and harvest must be reported on the permit from gear types. And the subsistence permit area in the middle of South Forks of the Keokuk River near Wiseman, that permit area remains unchanged, and hook and line is not allowed unless fishing under the ice. So this helps to align state and federal regulations, in those, especially up in those upper portions of District 5 where there's a mix of state and federal waters. Eel sticks were added to the list of subsistence gear types. The maximum mesh size in subsistence areas of Beaver and Birch Creek was increased to 4-inch or smaller mesh. Those areas were previously restricted to 3 or 3.5. Subsistence fishermen may operate more than one subsistence gear type at a time. Fishermen must maintain a 200-foot distance between set nets and fish wheels in portions of districts 4, 5, and 6, but other gear types may be operated closer. So this means that if you've got a fish wheel, your child can be fishing with a hook and line closer than 200 feet from your fish wheel, essentially. And so, as I mentioned, we did add eel sticks, those that did get added to the list of subsistence gears. Proposal 85 passed, and this updated personal use fishing gear regulations to provide more harvest opportunities for available species when there's a conservation concern. So during times of conservation, dip nets and fish wheels may be used, and a salmon species may be required to be released alive by EO. It also added additional mesh sizes that may be used during times of conservation and allows net lengths to be restricted, and nets may be required to be operated within 100 feet of the ordinary high water mark. There are going to be additional discussions about ordinary high water mark, as there were concerns raised at the meeting that in low water conditions, the water's edge may be more than 100 feet from the ordinary high water mark, and nets may not even be able to reach the water. So I suspect this is an issue that's going to come up both in regards to this personal use proposal, and then also we did include that in the subsistence gear repeal in the place. So that's probably an issue that folks are going to want more clarification on as we go forward. Proposal 86 passed. And that's a sport fish proposal. So while sport fishing in the Yukon area, if a salmon is removed from the water, it must be kept and counted towards bag and possession limits. And then for proposal 87, that's the definition of an eel stick. No action was taken at the AYK meeting, and it's going to be taken up at the statewide meeting out in March. And then proposal 88 passed. So during times of conservation in the commercial fishery, selective gear including dip nets, beach chains, and fish wheels may be used for commercial fishing, and by emergency order, salmon species with a conservation concern must be released alive. So that extended those possibilities to coho salmon. And the maximum mesh size for commercial fishing was standardized to 6 inch throughout the drainage. And proposal 89 took no action. That was to clarify that a dip net could be used with a handle and a single line attached. And upon further discussion with the troopers, it was determined that that practice is already allowable and that no regulation change was needed to recognize that fishing method in the Yukon River. So, yep, that is our very brief summary. If you've got any questions about specific proposals or discussions, Christy and I can try to answer those.
Great. No, that was a great summary, Gina. Thank you. And we'll look forward to the board summary to pass along to all our members. You mentioned RC we should pay attention to. Do you have a number on that?
Christy, do you have a number? Is it attached to that?
It's RC56, and it's posted on the Board of Fish website.
Is that, okay, so it's on the board for the AYK meeting or for the,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's on the board for the AYK meeting, and it says suggested substitute language for Proposal 82 by member Carlson Van Dort. And that's some substitute language we worked with stakeholders at the meeting. It was kind of a spur off of YIRFA's amendments. So I would take a look at that, and I'm sure the board members would appreciate ACs between now and, what is it, it's February 23rd is when you can comment by for statewide finfish in March, and then that way they can get some guidance from Yukon ACs to see if they like that amended language or if they like the original proposal.
Okay, we'll definitely look that up and start vetting it. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Does anybody, any members of the AC have questions for,
this is Mike Kramer, Gail Perry, I can't raise my hand, but, Dina, thanks for a very efficient, presentation of the AYK meeting of many issues. One thing caught my attention is the definition of hook and line for subsistence gear and how that's been, you know, increased seemingly very incrementally up the Yukon, but yet still specifically banned in the Tanana drainage and Unit 25 and, you know, places along the road system as you've described. Was there much discussion among the board or what's the department's position? How to say that hook and line is customary gear, you know, in the Kuskokwim River, but not, or not the Kuskokwim, but in the Clayfork River, but not above that, or that, you know, at the mouth of the Yukon is customary traditional use hook and line to catch fish, but not, you know, in the village of Nevada. Was there any principled discussion on the distinction and why not just recognize hook and line as a traditional method of subsistence fishing?
Young Mr. Kramer is.
Yeah, thanks.
Well, I can hear Tinker. He's on board. Okay.
Yeah, there was some discussion about that at the board, not extensively, and that's that came about as an RC that came up at the board where folks up in, actually, I think it was a young woman from Mentor Nana, Christy, you can correct me, Christy, you worked very closely with her to get the substitute language passed to help extend subsistence, help extend the hook and line for subsistence. ACs previously have kind of taken this little incremental approach out of concern that they wanted it added to their area, but they were kind of cautious about extending it to the upper Yukon, and so they were kind of taking this kind of small piece approach when it was extended up to the Nulato River and then the Keokuk AC wanted extended up to the Keokuk River, and then the RC was able to just extend it up through the rest of the Yukon area, excluding the Tanana River. So this, we're in favor. We already have, except for the Dall River, yeah. We were mindful of areas where there is sportfish, intensive sportfish fishing, so that's why the Dall River was not included. That's an area where folks do go, to go sportfish. It's helpful for us because it does align the subsistence with hook and line in state and federal waters, of which much of District 5 was already in federal waters, and also portions of District 4 above the Keokuk River were already in federal waters. So that just helps to make the practice a little bit more uniform. We do already have regulations in place that allow us to require release of salmon from hook and line gear. We can also have different stipulations that we can apply to that gear. It's something that we'll be discussing a lot this spring as we go into preseason as to how we want to talk about it, how we want to message it, how we want to encourage folks to use this gear up in portions of District 5 with a permit. The permits will need to be amended to make sure that folks are reporting harvest from that gear type. So we were in favor of extending that subsistence opportunity, given that the gear that a lot of people do already have, they may have already been using for subsistence, and they can use it across state and from
the state. I think it's not a matter of extending the opportunity. It's recognizing what's customer and traditional method of harvesting fish for food. And I just tell these principles the same thing, hook and line in certain areas, certain products, but once you get above a certain line, it's no longer, traditional. It's the most selected method of harvest, in my opinion, as opposed to film that and fishing hook and other devices that are.
Yeah, and I think
recognizing. I think that hook and line should be a legitimate method of consumer service, throughout the day. And that's part of that exception for loads accessible areas.
That was kind of, we had some discussions that we didn't want to step on sportfish's toes too much. There are definitely concerns about folks coming into that more heavily trafficked and accessible areas of the Tanana River. And next cycle, maybe that will be a proposal that's put in as well. I think, again, folks are just real cautious about stepping on toes and encroaching onto that sportfish issue with not just extending it to all of District 6. That was something that even though the author of the RC was from District 6, she didn't want to. She thought that might have been a bridge too far, but she was happy to help propose it for the rest of her neighbors in the rest of the Yukon area.
Okay. Thank you. Any other questions for Dina? Kyle, could you put up that RC 66? Okay, does somebody, Dina, do you want to go through this real quickly?
Christy would probably be the better one to address this one with the thinking gill nets. Yeah, and she'll likely be going to the statewide meeting so she can help answer questions there as well.
Yeah, thank you.
Yep. Gail, this is Christy with Fish and Game. Yeah, I led this proposal, and I'll be attending the statewide Board of Fish meeting in March to help address this as well. But, so during the meet, well, I guess to back up a little bit, the sinking gill nets proposal, we had support from all of our ACs up and down the Yukon, either as the original proposal or later on when YIRGFA proposed an amendment. Some of the later ACs that were able to see that amendment then were in favor of it. And so this RC is very similar to the amendment that YIRGFA had. And so I guess walking through this, the first part there, the 39.250, that just applies to commercial fishing. It basically says during our commercial salmon season, you cannot sink a gill net for commercial salmon fishermen. And then the next part down there, 01.220, that applies to subsistence fishing. And we heard during the Board of Fish meeting that folks in particularly District 4, 5, and 6 like to sink their gill nets to avoid floating debris during high water events, especially during the springtime. And they sink their nets about 4 feet below the water to let those big tree logs and root wads like float over the net without taking out the net. And so we added in District 3 because they didn't have any representation at the meeting due to weather. And so basically for this proposal for District 3 to 6 for subsistence, if you sink a gill net, there's going, if this RC passes, it's saying that you would need a red cluster of buoys or a buoy on each end of the net. And if your net is longer than 60 feet, you need a third one in the middle. And then we heard from fishermen in District 1 and 2 that drift isn't as big of an issue. And so they're okay with saying no sinking gill nets during the salmon season in the lower Yukon from May 1st to September 30th. And then if you scroll down a little bit, Kyle, the last part of this RC address, the personal use salmon fishery near Fairbanks and North Pole area, and it says that you can't sink your gill net during the salmon season from May 1st to September 30th. And so our original proposal, it came from the Alaska Department of Fish and Game, and it said that basically during the salmon season from May 1st to September 30th, you can't sink your gill net for subsistence, personal use, or commercial for enforcement purposes, boating safety purposes, and for us to be able to manage these salmon fisheries.
Okay. So this is going to be deliberated at the statewide meeting.
Yeah, correct. And so they'll have the original proposal, and then they'll have this RC, which was put together by stakeholders at the AYK meeting.
Well, that's great. Right. That'll give a lot of talk with stakeholders. That would be wonderful. Thank you. Does anybody have any questions on this? Just preliminary questions. We'll be discussing it in the future. I just wanted to get a brief shot at it. And I can't see hands. Kyle, you can maybe take that off. I can, that when anything's on the screen, I can't see hands. Thank you. Any questions for Christy? That was a great explanation. I appreciate it. Thank you, Christy. Okay. So now, on the agenda, there was just information on the board meeting dates. Of course, the AYK is done. And we've got Alaska Peninsula coming up, as everybody knows, on the 20th to the 25th. And comment deadlines are February 3rd, which is why we're meeting tonight. And then the statewide and then the hatchery meeting in March. So that's what's on the agenda right now. There is a federal subsistence board meeting January 30th to February 4th, I believe. Is there anybody who wants to talk about that meeting very quickly that will be at that meeting? Just jump in if you have any comments. Okay. With that, I think we're going to go, if Kyle, if you could put up the proposal spreadsheet. Okay, so is there a way to enlarge this? Yeah, great. Maybe one more? Yeah. We'll just go through sections at a time. And I have done a preliminary myself for recommendations on each of these proposals, but my that's just a recommendation, so it'll be up to the AC members. But before we go into that, I want to get a few of these off the table. So is there anybody who wants to speak to number 98? Is there anybody here who could speak to that real quickly? Because I have that as a question mark. That's the only one I have as a question. Are you from the department? Okay. Mike, you got your hand up? Mike Tinker?
I'm fine.
Oh, okay. I can't see. All I can see is things that come up on the side. I can't see hands up, so people just jump in and appreciate it. So if there's no, I'm going to recommend on Proposal 98 that we take no action because I don't really know enough about it unless somebody else wants to speak to it. So on the next batch of proposals, 99 to 104, I'm recommending take no action. These are mostly regional proposals that we would need a lot of explanation on, and I would suggest we just K&A all of those. And there again, I'm just going through these proposals right now. If anybody wants to comment on any of that batch of proposal, 99 to 104, please just jump right in. Okay, we're going to go down to the Chibnik area proposals. And Kyle, if you could... Oh, yeah, I guess you can't move it over. Yeah, that's okay. Just leave it where it was because we have to see the number. Yeah, just go back to where you had it. There you go. Okay, so proposals number 105 to 119 are Chibnik management area proposals. And if anybody has a comment on any of them, I will tell you what I'm recommending. But first, I'd like to hear comments from anybody. Okay, I'm going to recommend oppose on number 105 because unless somebody from the department wants to speak to that, that is a CODI Act department proposal, and that speaking to it's a complicated proposal on the escapement plan for. The Chibnik area. And Axel, do you want to say anything quickly about that?
Can you hear me, Gail?
I can. Go ahead.
So Proposal 105, if the Westward region decided that they're going to lower the escapement goals in Chibnik, change the entire way they manage the fishery, they decided this last year, at least that's when they started letting Area M and Kodiak fishermen know. We found out, I think, in March. And so they decided that rather than for the last 4 years we heard it was the blob that was causing our early run to fail in Chibnik. And when we started getting some traction there to get some things done, it became our lake system. So anyway, they're going to revamp everything, throw out the baby with the bathwater, so to speak, start managing the two distinct runs as one run, unprecedented changes, really. And there just hasn't been enough time for peer review or anything like that. So the AC voted it down, and we passed a resolution asking the Board of Fish and the Department to delay implementation of this plan until it's been studied properly, peer reviewed, and there's been enough time to see what the changes with the stock of concern designation and the blob moving out of the Gulf and all those things to see if it's really even necessary at all. So that pretty much sums up 105 and 132.
Okay. Yeah, thank you, Axel. I appreciate that. So for the benefit of AC members, I am going to oppose this proposal. And if you want to mark it on your spreadsheet to what your preference is, then we'll vote on it shortly. Okay, so the number 105, I'm voting to support that proposal. We had quite a discussion about that at the last meeting. Proposals number 107 and 108, I am going to recommend opposing. Number 109, I recommend support. Go ahead. Yeah, jump in. You have a question? Please just jump in because I can't see anybody. Number 109, I am going to recommend support. Number 110, oppose. Number 111, recommend support. Number 112 and number 112 to number 117, I recommend oppose. Many of those are about increasing time for in Area M. And there again, please jump right in, somebody, if I'm off on these and you'd like to make a comment. Now I'm going to do it. And then on number 118, I recommend support. And number 119, I recommend TNA. Go ahead. Anybody have a comment on that? Okay. Number 120, Mark, is Mark McNeely on board? I was hoping to get a little more clarification on that proposal. Because I think what they're doing, if somebody from Nelson Lagoon, I think what they're doing is they have a proposal in, they wanted an amendment that they're sending in, as either public comment or, an RC. And I think we can vote. I would recommend that we vote to support, with that language in mind. So, anyway, that's how I would consider it. Okay, so proposals 121 to, 126, or 125, I recommend opposing. Proposal number 126, I recommend take no action. Proposal 127, I recommend opposing. Proposal 129, that I believe is a that's North Peninsula, so that's also in Nelson Lagoon. I recommend support, but if there's in lieu of nobody from Nelson Lagoon here, I would say with clarification from them. And 129, I recommend take no action. So that's the end of the first page. And maybe to make this simple, since we don't have too many public comments, let's just, the AC members, let's vote on the first page, and then we'll go on to the second page because that will have more detail. So the first vote we're going to call for is proposal 98. I recommend to take no action. I'd like to hear from AC members if you have any comments before we vote. Okay, we're going to do this by unanimous consent unless there is a opposition. So if you're opposing that we take no action on this, please speak now. Okay, so we're going to take no action on 98. On proposals number 99 through 104, take no action on any of those proposals unless you want to speak to them. Okay, I'm going to take no action based on unanimous consent. Last chance to jump in, anybody? Okay, so going on to 105, I'm recommending opposing. Any questions on number 105 from AC members? Okay, by unanimous consent, we will go on record as opposing. Okay, number 106, that is the, okay, Axel, would you want to explain this one very quickly? I wasn't going to do comments, but just give us a 2-second rundown on this one.
I'm sorry, Gail, which one?
On 106, that's Timothy Murphy.
Oh, yeah, this is, historically in Chittenden, the way it was managed was we needed 40,000 sockeye through the weir and a significant buildup of fish in the lagoon prior to the first commercial opening of the season. The department has whittled that away over the years, and actually their new management plan they want to enforce just drops it to 20,000 fish whenever, which hurts subsistence. You're putting less fish in the river before a commercial opening. So Timothy Murphy put one in to go back to the 40,000 fish in a buildup in the lagoon prior to the first opener.
Okay, thank you. Okay, I talked about this before too, so I'm going to vote support, and if there, and I would ask for any comments from AC members. Okay, let's do a support on that one based on unanimous consent. Okay, then...
Excuse me.
Yeah.
Excuse me, Gail.
Go ahead, Jim.
This is Jim. I was just wondering, what proposal was Axel just speaking of?
Jim, that was Axel. 106.
106, okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. Got lost.
Yeah, it's easy to do. I'm switching back and forth between my two different glasses in order to read these things. Okay, so proposal number 107, and I apologize for the spreadsheets being so small in print, but that's the only way we can get everything on there. So 107, I'm going to recommend we oppose. That seeks for more commercial fishing time in Area M. So if I don't hear any objection, I will say we're opposing by unanimous consent. Okay. The next one is 108, and that's similar in design, and I'm going to ask to oppose by unanimous consent. Okay. Any objection? Okay. A proposal number 110. That is to allow fishing parries in Central District. I did talk, it establishes windows. I talked to Axel quite a bit about that today. And basically it establishes windows to take some of that fishing pressure off. Is that correct, Axel?
Yeah, Gail, that proposal was to allow more movement of sockeye within Chignik and within to our lagoon and up into our river system, because the way it's set up now, we go by EO authority in August. It used to be 5 days a week in August, and we go by EO authority. And the way things have been going, we don't get our escapement until late in season, and then we grind on the little bit of fish that are trickling in August, and the department has us fish 7 days a week, and we're really knocking down our little tributaries and stuff in there, so we want to get some more pulse escapement by pulsing fish into the system.
Okay.
That was proposal 109, Gail, not 110.
That's proposal 109, correct. Okay. I think I called for it, but I think by unanimous consent we're going to support 109. Any objection? Okay, going on to 110. I need a quick explanation on 110 for the AC members. I'm going to oppose it by even an explanation to members. George, did you want to deliver that?
Well, I'm George Anderson, not George Gunderson.
Oh, no, I knew that. But I think we should know about the proposal.
Okay, sure thing, Gail. I'll speak to it. It's asking for something that's already been in practice, and for as long as I can remember. If there is no fish enough to get through escapement, you don't open Chignik Lagoon. And I'm not sure why this proposal is in there. Maybe Axel can enlighten us if he's had any. I can't believe it's in there myself.
Okay, and I've heard that comment consistently. So I'm going to vote to oppose. And I'm asking AC members what your preference is. By unanimous consent, oppose number 110. Any objections? Speak up. Okay, so it passes. We do not support. We oppose it. Okay, number 111, Axel, that's your proposal. A two-second rundown?
2 seconds. let's see, 111. Yeah, this is just, if you look at the history in Chignik in August month, there's only pinks and dogs in our eastern district, and currently we're managed on sockeye in August out there, even though there aren't any sockeye out there. So we're just trying to get some fishing time to, if we can't fish our reds because we don't have any, we're hoping to at least go out and fish the pinks and chums. We have a lot of those in the area, and so this proposal is to change some language in our management plan to allow us to go hit the pinks and chums. Our local pinks and chums out in our eastern district in the August month.
Okay. I'm going to move to support by unanimous consent. Any objection? Okay, so we will support that. Okay, the next three proposals. Does anybody have a question? Go ahead. Anybody have a question on that? Okay. The next proposals from 112 to 117, I'm going to recommend that we oppose in a block. These are all increasing area and fishing times, or more or less. And does anybody want to speak to that? I object to that real quickly. That would be proposal 111. To 117, vote as a block to oppose. Any objection? I'm going to call unanimous consent on opposing those proposals. Okay. Then proposal number 118. I don't know. It's by some crazy guy at Chignik again, but I told you. You want to give us a quick rundown?
Yeah, that must be me.
Yeah.
This is the same thing in our Western and Perryville district in August month to allow us to fish our local pinks and chums when there are no sockeye. It took a little bit of redistricting to close the areas where we can catch sockeye and just focus on the areas where the local pinks and chums are up inside the bays and inside and stuff like that. So that's same principle as the Eastern District one, just trying to get out fishing and catch some local pinks and chums even when there's no sockeye.
Okay, I'm going to recommend support by unanimous consent. Is there any objection?
The question of Gail is Mike Tinker.
Go ahead.
The question to Axel is, since this is the second one of these we've gone into, certainly I have no idea or no problem with the intent, but with these designations and targeting pinks and chums, what's the actual catch going to be? In other words, we're going to tolerate 10, 15% sockeye or 25, or how are we going to measure that before they further look at whether they need to restrict this or not?
Well, the department would have to answer that, but we've been told in the past when they've, they're limited in their areas they can open for pinks and chums, and they always tell us if you catch any sockeye, you know, this is when we don't have our escapement. They tell us if you catch any sockeye, we're going to close those areas down. So it'll basically come,
okay.
We said, well, how many's too many? 100, you know? And they kind of said, yeah. So it's going to be a pretty small amount if anybody, because there's always that one person that's going to try, you know? But
sure. I don't have a problem with that. You've answered my question, because the answer is that the tolerance for a sockeye is going to be very small. And that's certainly the stock that we're really concerned about here. That's good, Gail. I have no objection.
Okay, thank you, Mike. Appreciate the question. Okay, so unanimous consent, we are going to support that proposal, number 118. Okay, number 119, I'm recommending we take no action. That's a more of a regional gear thing and support in concept, but I feel like we don't have enough information to really go into that, and it's not critical to a statement. Would that be a correct assessment, Axel?
119.
That's Ben's proposal, and that's on.
Oh yeah, that was to allow to switch to your permit over to Troll in the fall. It was kind of vague on the dates, and it was voted down 6-4 by our AC.
Okay, so we're gonna just not take any action on that.
Yeah, that was an inter area.
Okay. Yeah, thank you. Number 120, we're back to Northern District, and that would be Mark McNeely is not on tonight to speak to that proposal. This is one that does have amendments that they have made. George, do you or anybody else know about those amendments? I can't remember the conversation.
Yeah, Gail. Yeah, this is George Anderson again here. I attended their last AC meeting, and yes, Mark and his other fellow AC members moved to adopt the language that could be found in the emergency petition that was voted down in the October work session because it did not meet the criteria. There were several comments from board members that 120 and 128 had some language there that they could, you know, massage into being heard at this upcoming meeting at the 20th to 25th of February. So what they did is adopt the necessary language out of the emergency petition that you cannot find in 120. And I believe they voted on that unanimously. And I'm not sure what that's going to look like in the minutes, but that's what they did, Gail.
Okay. Yeah, I appreciate that clarification. I am going to take a leap of faith here because I wasn't part of those discussions, and I think this is a good proposal. I will get the language for the emergency petition for Mark, and I'm going to ask the members what they would like to do with this. If you want to support based on that emergency petition or if you want to TNA it. So if some of the AC members would speak up, that'd be great.
Mike.
Go ahead, Mike.
I think my preference would be that we TNA it because it's hard for me to believe that our input is going to carry the day on this. What's going to carry the day for the amendment is how rationally it fits in with the original proposal. And since we can't see that, I think the safest bet for us is to step back and let the local advisory committees handle it.
Okay. That's probably good advice. So the recommendation is to TNA this proposal. Any other AC members comment on that? Okay, I'm going to recommend that we TNA by consent. Any objection? Okay. So going on to proposals 121 to 125, I'm recommending that we take that block and oppose all those proposals. Any comment from the AC members?
Gail's Mike again.
Go ahead.
I think any of these that are asking for increased fishing time or extra opportunity at this time should be opposed until we have a better handle on how the harvest here and the timing and whatnot is affecting the subsistence fisheries farther north.
I concur. Well said. Thank you. Any other comments from AC members? Okay, so proposals 121 to 125, we are going to oppose, and I would like to include Mike's I'll include your comments in our board comments, because that was nicely said, Mike. So any opposition to opposing? Okay, unanimous consent. We are going to oppose those proposals. Number 126, I recommend take no action. Any comments on number 126? Okay. By unanimous consent, I will consider we're going to take no action on that one. Number 127, I am recommending opposing this one for the same reason that we had a discussion on that block of votes. So I recommend that we oppose this proposal. Any comments from the AC? Okay, we're going to oppose by unanimous consent. Any objection? Okay, we are opposing that proposal. I recommend on the next proposal, 128, there again is a northern proposal, and it's about gillnet specs. I support it in theory, but I don't think we have enough information, and we have nobody here from Nelson Lagoon to speak to it. So I recommend that we take no action. Any comments? Okay, by unanimous consent, I will consider that we're going to take no action. Any objection? Okay, hearing none, we'll go on. Then the next one, the last one on this page is 129, and I also recommend that we take no action. That's a local net issue. Any comments from the AC members on 129? Okay, by unanimous consent, we're going to take no action. Any objection? Okay, so no action on that one. Okay, next page. Okay, so the first three proposals on the Southeastern District mainland, I am recommending on 130, 131, and 132, I am recommending that we oppose. I know 132 is linked to 135 down the road, down the line here. And so I'm recommending.
Gail, sorry, yes. This is actually, it's linked to 105.
Oh, 105, I apologize.
Yeah, it's based on the restructuring of the.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
You told me that, and I just typed it in wrong. Thank you for saying that. I'm going to recommend that we oppose those three proposals. Any comments from the AC? Any comments? Questions? Okay, I'm going to recommend that we oppose by unanimous consent. Any objections? Okay, hearing no objections, we're going to oppose those three proposals. Okay, 133. That is, Axel, do you, or George, or somebody want to talk to that very briefly?
I guess George nominated me. Let's see. yeah, this is last year when we were declared a stock management concern. Basically what the board, well, Chignik and Ari M. Sainers came to an agreement that we would basically cut the fishing time in half from June 15th till the end of June in the Shumagin Islands to allow more Chignik sockeye to escape through the area. It basically takes 72 hours for our sockeye to get, the Chignik-bound sockeye to get through that Shumagin Islands area there, Dolgoy and Shumagins. So this is basically trying to make that a regulation. It's more, quite closely aligns more with what it used to be historically with fishing time in that area before it was all expanded so much in 2004.
Okay, now the question I have for this set of proposals is how does this relate to 140?
Well, I mean, this proposal would reduce fishing time in the Shumagins. It could be applied. What they did with the last one, we put in a proposal to have closures because from 2004 to 2018, there were no closures in the June South Peninsula salmon fishery for all gear types concurrently. Seiners and drifters would fish together. The little bit of time they were closed, the set netters were fishing. When the set netters closed, the seiners and drifters were fishing. So there was 24 hours with gear in the water, the capability for 24 hours with gear in the water for the whole June fishery there in the South Peninsula. In 2019, I put in a proposal to have some closures in there. Originally, I just asked for the Shumagins because the department tends to, the board and department tend to not let us do too much with the South Unimak area because they say there's not enough Chignik fish in that area for us to be concerned about. But we put in a proposal to have 72-hour closures. They shortened it to 32 hours, but they applied it to the entire June fishery. So they did the whole thing. So theoretically, this one, if you do the 72-hour closures, could be applied to the entire South Peninsula June fishery, just like they did in 2019. And it would give 72-hour closures and no longer than 72-hour openings in the June fishery. So I see it as a backup if 140 doesn't go anywhere, maybe.
Okay, so that raises the whole question that we're going to have on this group of proposals, is that we're supporting 140, obviously. We've got a tremendous amount of support for 140 throughout the AYK region. The issue for 140 is that some of these proposals are actually more stringent than 140. The issue for 140 is that it's a compromise with precedence. This was this was in place in back in 2001. My concern is that even though it is the backup, I'm going to ask the AC members what they think and how we should approach the action, because I don't want to jeopardize our discussion or our support for 140 as we go along. So, Virgil, do you have a comment on that?
Okay, I finally got unmuted. Yes, I have a comment on it.
We have to do that with you all the time. Go ahead.
I've been involved in this thing for about 35 years, you know, this RAM deal. And so everything in the world has been tried in the past, and the only thing that works is getting their damn gear out of the water. And the 75 hours of a window, if they get the fish 75 hours straight, is crap. Proposal 140, the most they'll have is 16 hours at a time. And they couldn't have more than 2 16-hour periods in a day or a week, I mean, next to each other, and then they, 3 of them in a week, which is a total of 48 hours in a week, they would be able to fish. And see, what a lot of people don't understand, if you're a board member, you'll understand this, but most fisheries, like Cook Inlet, what's in regulation there? 12-hour periods is what's in regulation there. If they have gigantic runs on the Kenai River, then they give them emergency openings. Even the Copper River, they start out with 12-hour openings. And then if it really looks good, and that's two a week is all. Two 12-hour periods a week. That's what's in regulation for there, Copper River. And they increase them to 24-hour periods a week. It's to have windows so fish can get up the river. AAM thinks they should be the prima donnas that don't have to go by, which they don't. They just go by fishing time in the June fishery and most of the July fishery, I think. They think they should be able to just pick on. Well, no one else in the state gets to pick on. They get openings of so many hours, so many times a week, and mostly it's two times a week. It's like in the Yukon, our openings, two openings a week. That's it. And so that's when we used to have a commercial fishery, which we don't have anymore and haven't had for, well, 3 full years we haven't had one. In the upper Yukon, they got to fish two 6-hour openings in the lower Yukon 3 years ago at the start, and then the whole works got shut down, and no one's fished since. But anyway, because those prima donnas want to have all these gigantic openings, they can be like the rest of us. That should be our proposal, 240 or 140 should be two 12-hour openings a damn week. But if we can get 316, that's a hell of a lot better than what they're doing now, which is 84 hours, I think, straight, and then 32 hours off. I think that's what they're doing now. But anyway, what needs to happen is they need to bring up in the roadmap 140 needs to get addressed first. And we have to really work hard on getting four votes and not letting people get conflicted out.
Marshall, thank you. Very well said. So that brings me back to my original question. We don't want to jeopardize 140. And I guess we could, I'm going to throw this out for discussion. We could support number 133 with the caveat that 140 is the optimal proposal, but I think that language is too strong. So do you want to support this one, or do you want to just say that, nope, go for 140, period? What's your preference, guys?
Yeah, I think we have to say that it's only addressed this proposal if you fully deliberate and reject 140. Otherwise, it gives some board members an easy out. It gives the lobbyists an easy out to say, well, let's just go for a compromise right away and let's, you know, shelve 140 or let's deal with it later because it comes later in the proposal book. I think that's likely to happen. So, you know, this would be an acceptable thing to back as a backup deliberation, but I think our comment should certainly say that only after 140 has been thoroughly deliberated and voted on. Do we support this, or ask the board to support it?
That was Mike Kramer speaking. Yes, I agree with Mike. I'm just looking at timing here. I don't. If I were on the board and I had proposals in front of me, you know, I don't want this one to be pre-140 140 is what I'm trying to say. So our language should be. That we support this proposal only if 140 is not accepted. But I don't want that to be an easy out either. Go ahead, Chris. Oh, this is Chris.
I wouldn't give them an either or. I would stick with 140. I've talked with some other folks out there. And I think Mike's absolutely correct. If you give them any wiggle room, they will exploit it without a doubt. And it'll be at a detriment to anybody living on the Yukon.
Okay. Thank you, Chris. This is Chris Bai, by the way. Thank you, Chris, for that comment. I'd like to hear from other members of the AC. I'm inclined to agree with that, but I would like to hear from other members. Virgil, what's your recommendation?
And my recommendation is go with 140. And this proposal here only addresses the Shumigan Islands anyway, and the majority of the fish are caught in the South Unimak fishery, not the Shumigans. There's more fish caught in the South Unimak fishery than there are in the Shumigans, because there's more fishermen there.
So,
actually, I'd like to offer a correction to Virgil there. Actually, Virgil, since 2004, there's more seiners in the Shumigans. The harvests have shifted drastically into the Shumigans, and they still catch AYK-bound chums in the Shumigans. In fact, prior to 2004, most of the chums and sockeye were caught out in South Unimak. Since they opened everything wide open in 2004, they've caught a lot more chums in the Shumigans, because the seiners have hung around there a lot more because they've been given more fishing time. It's the same chums they're catching down in South Unimak, and they hammer them at the Shumigans, and nobody pays any attention to it because they're caught at the Shumigans, and everybody always looks at South Unimak because apparently people don't understand that the fish are coming in that direction and they're going by the Shumigan Islands. So if the Shumigans, like say you close down Unimak and the Shumigans stay open, they're going to catch those fish there. The seiners are going to concentrate there, and they're going to catch them there. But you guys got to do what you got to do. But I want you guys to make sure you can look at the numbers since 2004 and the way the same fleet has shifted its harvests. They're still catching a lot of chums. They're just splitting them between the two areas, the Shumigans and South Unimak, whereas before it used to be all South Unimak. But if you look at the WASIP study, they're the same composition in the Shumigans in June as they are in South Unimak.
Well, I know they catch a lot of them in the Shumigans, but the way, before they got rid of the 8.3% allocation, it was only 1.5% of the Bristol Bay forecast was for the Shumigans, and then the 6.whatever it was was for the South Unimak, and so there was more of an way more allocation. In South Unimak,
right. And when they threw that out, they increased the fishing time by 150% in the Shumigan Islands, and actually not as much in South Unimak because of that. There used to be that balance between used to be about roughly 75-25 split to where the fish were caught, South Unimak and Shumigans, and now Shumigans actually will. Now that the Bristol Bay runs are really big the last few years, South Unimak's popped up again. But when things go back more to normal, you'll see almost a 50-50 split in some years between the Shumigans and South Unimak, and that includes chums. There's actually years where they've caught more chums in the Shumigans here in the last 20 years than they did in South Unimak.
Well, I know the way it was before, if they caught their allocation in the Shumigans, they got shut down.
Yeah, they threw all that out.
Right, I'm the one that got rid of all that and went to the 3 16-hour periods a week, is what we're trying to do now. And before I did all that, I had gotten all the catchers by stat area, and there were a couple of places in the Shumigans where they super hammered the chums. I do know that, and that's where they set up, I think it was, maybe it was Pop-Off Head, I'm not sure. I can't remember, but somewhere over there in the Shumigans where they set up their, the troopers got in there and they didn't know they were there with video cameras and telephoto lenses and videoed them chum trucking, the sailors. And they made convictions on those guys. And that happened in 2000.
Yeah, my neighbor across the street was one of the troopers taking videos.
Yeah, good.
Oh, yeah, I'd like to see those. correct me if I'm wrong, you guys. If we support 140, that takes care of the concern for 133. Is that correct?
Gail, this is Mike.
Go ahead, Mike.
Okay, so the issue we want to get in these proposals is that we are going to eventually be in support of anything that reduces the fishing time enough to make a difference in the escapement and in the pass-through of the chums. And so that's where we're going. Our preference is always going to be 140. And what we would like the board to do, I think you want to make it right on this proposal, is in their roadmap, don't take this one up now. Take up 140 first, because our support for this kind of thing increases dramatically if they set 140 aside. If you pass a couple of these, you know, self-restricting various parts of the district, then, you know, just like was said earlier, you're going to get a swell toward, okay, we've done enough, let's go on. Again, I think they're opening them up, or they're opening themselves up for a lawsuit from the subsistence folks that are running out of fish, can't fish at all, if they do not take some drastic action here. And so let's consider the umbrella action at 140 first.
Okay.
That'd be my comment. And I'd start that comment right here at 131.
No, and this is Virgil. I want to add one other thing. We haven't said a word about king salmon. I think it was 2017. We're in the June fishery. The Area M caught 44,000 something king salmon in the June fishery alone. And I almost, if damned, I can't think of his name, Fritz Johnson wouldn't have screwed up. You know, he was a board member from Bristol Bay and voted no. We would have had it then.
That was 2016.
It was.
Yep. He was asleep.
Anyway,
he was asleep at the wheel.
Yeah, Fritz was asleep at the wheel, and so we lost a three. We had a 3-4 vote, 3-4 and 4 against. Fritz voted against. I couldn't believe it. Robin Sanderson, none of us could believe it. Then we convinced him, well, we got to bring it back up. Well, they brought it back up, and one of the other board members changed his mind then. So we still ended up with a damn 3-4 vote. But king salmon have not been addressed. They are catching king salmon too, and because I came up with in 2001, I finally got the department to print off 10 years worth of discrete fishing permit harvest by stat area and date. You know, you can't tell who the fishermen were, but it was the same fisherman for going back 10 years, or same permit number going back 10 years, and it didn't say the permit number. They just, the department arbitrarily assigns those, each fishing permit, a number. And so they can print that off on the computer. And I had those. And that way I could prove they were either throwing the fish away or the processors were not putting them on the fish ticket, one or the other. They weren't counting all the fish. However, it looked more like the fishermen were just pitching them overboard. And so once they almost got, you know, back to the 3 16-hour periods a week again, they're not catching so many king salmon anymore. Well, there's a simple reason for it. They know we're watching how many king salmon they're catching. And so if they continue to catch them, that's going to give us more ammunition. So they just don't count the damn things. I don't know whether the processors aren't counting them, they're pitching them overboard, or just keeping them and giving them to their friends. But they're not catching as many, according to the blue sheets, as they were prior to the last time this thing got voted on. But I wanted to throw that in as well.
Good reminder, Virgil.
Yeah.
But I still have my, I still want to know what you guys want to do. Are we going to say, no, we're going to TNA this proposal and all of these proposals in favor of 140? That's my question.
What Mike said is we need to get the board to bring up 140 first. And then
we'll put that right. In common. Great, right.
And if it brings it, and if they pass that, then a bunch of these others, what the board will do is they'll just say, take no action due to the action taken on Proposal 140. That's what they'll do with all the rest of them, the proposals to restrict area and fishing time. That is what they will do. And so if we can get 140 taken up first and they pass it, then they can say that. If they don't pass it and just vote it down, then we can, they won't be able to say that because these others are not the same as that one was, or some of them were, some of them aren't.
Okay, since the roadmap is not in our control right now, and we don't know what they're going to do, my question remains, how do we want to address all these other proposals in terms of our vote, in terms of what our recommendation is to the board? Now, we can do just a take no action with clarification on language. Otherwise, we
Gail, this is Mike.
Go ahead, Mike.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay. The recommendation should be that the Fairbanks Advisory Committee recommends the board take no action on these or table these until they deal with 140.
Okay.
And then after they do that, then they can pull these back up.
Okay. So our language is take no action on that, based on that language to the board, correct?
No. Table means they can be brought back up. If you take no action, they're done.
No. Right. I'm saying for us, for this AC, we're not going to take an action on these up or down.
Yeah. There's absolutely no reason to until we come back in. I don't think any of these that restrict fishing time or space is going to be the key to this thing. But if they go in that direction, it would certainly help. But let's have them look at the big picture first. That's 140. So we recommend they table up to 140 and then come back.
Okay. Then on this block of proposals, and let me add one other thing on these proposals. Two or three of them are the authors are supporting 140. So Canada Chase is supporting 140. Okay.
And that's not exclusive, but what we say is, we're recommending that, and in fact, I would say if the roadmap does not place 140 in front of these, then these should be tabled until 140 is considered. Because like you say, we can't control the roadmap.
Right. Okay, so there again, our comments will be put this on first on the agenda and consider this your primary.
Yeah, Gail, this is Al.
Yes, Al, go ahead.
Yeah, so the problem with that is, you're submitting your comments before the roadmap is out, and most board members aren't going to get your comments until well after the roadmap has been put out. So it almost makes it mute.
I disagree, Al. You can table something at any time. Any member can say table when they get to 131.
Yeah, I can see where that would happen, but what is the realistic of that? They're going to follow the roadmap more than they're going to follow the comments.
Yeah, well, I mean, we don't have any more control over that than we did numbering these proposals when they put it in the proposal book.
I thought it was an interesting concept of how to get the roadmap changed or how to influence the roadmap. That's truly something novel right now.
Yep. To get the bigger picture first and then go work on the details.
You'd have to work with the chair and the board support.
Yep.
Well, we can always put in a letter request for what it's worth. I still want to know, I still need your advice on how to proceed on this.
Hey, Gail, this is Axel here. I just wanted to pass on to everybody. Whatever you guys decide to do, this proposal is going to be considered by the board one way or the other. They if it comes after 140, they can take no action on it or whatever if 140 passes. If 140 doesn't pass, if they decide to look at this one, they may or may not. Who knows? But it's going to be, it's on there and up for consideration regardless because it's been submitted. So, whether you guys support it or not is, it's going to be heard. So.
Good point, Axel. Thank you.
Yeah, this is Mike. That's what I was trying to get to too. It's not that we don't support these proposals. It's that we would like to try to solve the problem in a different way, and if that's the case, then these proposals would be covered in that bigger action.
Right. So we, there again, I'm asking, are we going to support or TNA all the proposals with comments that we've been discussing? Or so it's either support or TNA. Which is the preference?
We should support all the proposals that are going to reduce fishing time in Area M, period.
Okay. Okay.
Agree.
Okay. I think I may need a roll on this. Other AC members, please chime in. So Virgil and Mike Stinker said support. John, go ahead.
Yeah, this is Wiz. I support.
Okay.
Or agree.
Okay. John Siegfried? John Siegfried, are you there? You're breaking up. Okay, John Siegfried, can you just send me your answer in the chat? I can't hear you. Okay, and I will support along with that commentary. I do want to say that we probably, and I know Mark Richards has sent, and Chuck Derrick had both sent in their comments in support as well. But I want to say that, some of these proposals, are more stringent than 140. And, I would suggest that 140 is a good compromise for what we need to do for Area M. And I also would note that, that we are getting a huge amount of support for 140. So I'm going to suggest that we support by unanimous consent with the comments, that we have been talking about, especially that ask the board to consider it first. Support with comments? Are there any objections? Okay, so we're going to take this block of proposals up to 141, not including 142. So block of proposals up to 141 from 133 to 141. We're going to support with the comments we've been talking about. Last call for objection. All right, so we're going to consider that approved by unanimous consent up to proposal 141. Okay. I, on proposal 142, I recommend either TNA or oppose. I don't have any real information on that one. Does anybody from Chignik have any commentary real quickly?
On which one?
On 142.
No, I don't know. 142.
On 142?
Yes, Rachel, go ahead.
On 142, the AC and Chignik opposed unanimously.
Okay. I'm going to recommend that we take no action because we just don't have enough information on this proposal. Do any of our AC members have a comment on that? Thank you for that, Rachel. So, by unanimous consent, I'm going to consider that we're going to TNA proposal 142. Any objections? Okay. So going on to the next batch of proposals, the first one, Rachel, do you want to speak to that one, 143, very quickly?
I can't speak to that really quickly. My husband was submitted it, but we were both working on it. What we noticed is there's an immature test fishery in the Shumigan. There can be times when hundreds of thousands of immature fish, either being sockeye usually or possibly, and oftentimes king salmon, unfortunately nowadays. And we were watching the results of the test fishery, and there wasn't enough immatures to close the fishery. But then we started looking at the numbers and the weights that were being reported and the numbers, and it turned out that one day there was actually 3,000 immature Chinook being caught, but they weren't being reported as being immatures because they weren't gilled. And so we would like that reviewed, and we think that it needs to be. And it's only done for 3 days in the first week of July. And honestly, the immature fish traverse the area clear until almost the end of July. I think it's in some of the staff comments that it's been as late as maybe the 28th of July, 20th to the 28th. But they're not doing a test fishery anymore. And so I think in for the purpose of conserving future salmon, it needs to be addressed. And that's why we wrote the proposal.
Thank you for that. That was a good clarity. My inclination actually, though, is to not take any action on this because it is a more regional issue, and it's a post gene management issue. Virgil or anybody from the AC, would you like to comment on that?
Gail, this is Axel here.
Go ahead, Axel.
This is a conservation issue. These are immature Chinook and chums and sockeye and everything that get caught there in Area M that they do this test fishery for. So, I think it's a lot bigger than just a regional issue. These aren't necessarily these aren't Chignik fish. Maybe they're not even any Chignik fish. We don't know. Nobody knows where these fish are going. But if you're catching 3,000 immature Chinooks, I would think everybody in the state should be concerned about that. It's amazing the department doesn't care. But anyway, I would really think this is something that, seeing places not get their escapement goals and people not even be able to get enough fish to eat, and you've got guys killing thousands of immatures, that's a big problem. It's just my two cents.
Thanks, actually. The clarity I didn't have. Any AC members? Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, I'd encourage us to support this proposal. I think Axel's hit it right on the spot.
Yeah, I agree.
And the previous comments, it's bigger because it's precedent setting. We want them to get the data, not take a wild guess.
Okay, yeah, I know. He convinced me too, yeah. Thank you, Mike. So I'm going to support and consider support by unanimous consent unless I hear any objection. Any comments from the AC? Okay, hearing no objection, we're going to support by unanimous consent. That was Proposal 143. Okay, proposals for 144 to 147. All call for increase in Area M fishing time. So I oppose all of these. Comments from the AC? Okay, I'm going to oppose all of these based on unanimous consent. Any objection? That's proposals 144 to 147. Okay, so we're opposing those four proposals. Okay, on the there were two proposals for the South Alaska the manager and to mend the management the suite. I did not get a chance to talk with the authors, so can somebody speak to those three proposals very quickly? Anybody? George, anybody have any knowledge?
Okay. Yeah, this is George. Which proposal number are you on?
I'm on 148 and 149.
Oh.
I guess we can look at the proposal book very quickly.
That's what I'm doing.
Kyle, can you put those that proposal up real quickly? So that book or that set.
Can you remind me which proposal number you want up?
148 and 149. That was a RAC proposal, both of them.
Oh, I know which proposal this is, Gail. This is they basically want to implement the plan that we had last year in Chignik, where if the escapement goals are not going to be met, that the fishing time gets cut in half in the South Peninsula.
Okay.
But they give a lot of options there. Cut time in half. Fishing areas can be modified to reduce catch rates in areas where Chinook and Chum are abundant, and so they kind of just put a bunch of options on the table. So, in addition to that,
so we could.
And
go ahead.
Well, and they support a genetic testing program. I don't think we can get hurt too bad by supporting these.
Yeah, I was just thinking the same thing, Mike, and then we could do it, with the same commentary we had for the other proposal.
Yes. I in logical thought, these are going to follow 140, so, then they could be adjusted. A lot of these are going to get some amendment consideration. Including 140, and so perhaps this would be guidance for that kind of thing to support this so we're going the right direction.
Yeah, I would am inclined to agree. So I'm going to say that we're going to support those two proposals, number 148 and 149, by unanimous consent. Is there any objection? Okay, hearing none, we're going to support those. Thank you. Thank you, George, for the commentary. Okay, number 150. Axel, you want to talk about this one?
Yeah, this one, in 2004, they opened the Dolgoy Island areas, their Volcano Bay section in Pavlov. They opened it in June. Now, that area hadn't been opened in June previously. It had been closed since the 70s. They opened it in June as part of the big expansion of this interception fishery in 2004. This proposal, and they catch Bristol Bay fish there, of course, fish heading west, but they also catch a lot of chigging stocks. So we put in a proposal to include that. In the WASIP study, some of the days there, they caught 75% chignik-bound sockeye in July. June is obviously more Bristol Bay and westbound fish, probably chums too. But this would line it up and put it in with the Southeast District Mainland Plan, which has an allocation plan on chignik, and they only get so much fishing time, and it's only set netters until July 11th. It would keep the seiners out of there until then. It would slow down the interception of non-local fish, basically, in that area that didn't get to fish before 2004.
Okay. Are there any questions for Axel? I'm going to recommend that we support. Any objection? Okay, we're going to support Proposal 150 by unanimous consent. Last call. Okay, so we're going to support. Thank you. Okay, the next two proposals, I guess they're the last two, and we can, the gillnet specs, I think this just increases interception. Axel,
yeah.
Do you want to talk to that one?
151? Yeah. They want to allow,
Just 1 minute, Axel. There's a few people who don't have their phones muted. Can you check your phones and make sure you're on mute? Thank you. Go ahead, Axel.
151 would allow them to use, I believe off the top of my head, 25 fathoms of seine web to serve as a lead to their gill net, which they would tie onto the outside of that 25 fathoms of seine web to get basically 25 more fathoms of reach. I don't know why they just don't ask for their gill net to be 25 fathoms longer, but whatever. It's just getting more reach for their gill nets, so it'll increase their catching ability.
Okay. Any questions for Axel?
Gail, I'd like to make a comment. This is Rachel.
Sure, please, Rachel.
There is a concern that we never actually brought up in RAC, but those leads are made out of seine web, and now that they're pulling these offshore and can be anchored anywhere, all of a sudden that immature problem again, immatures get caught when they're gilled in the seine web, and so it could even complicate the immature issue even more.
Thank you for that, Rachel, and I would agree with that, and I'd also say when you combine two gear types, same with gillnet, I think you've got a board problem, you've got a statute problem, so and that's up for the board to decide, but I really strongly oppose this proposal. And for that reason. Any other comments from the AC?
This is Virgil. I'd like to ask a question.
Sure, Virgil.
What's the mesh of the seine web?
Virgil, I haven't found out what. It's not even marked that they have any size of seine web, like its leads and Kodiak are 5-inch mesh, and that would let immatures go through. But I don't even think it's in the regs what kind of seine web they can use.
Because a lot of fish can get caught in a 5-inch mesh net. Hell, I know that a lot of those Bristol Bay fishermen and some of those area drift fishermen are fishing smaller than 5-inch mesh gill nets. Because the damn fish are so small, because there's too many worthless pantry fish out there gobbling up all the food.
Yeah, our salmon gillnets used to be our regular chum nets were 5 1/4, and our salmon, or when the pink season changed over, we went down a size if you wanted to catch pinks. Most of us did not want to catch pinks, so we went up a size. You're right, Virgil.
But I know that, you know, they, for pink salmon, they only use 4-inch mesh, don't they?
Yeah. And it depends on your fishery, yeah. And, but you're right about the fish getting smaller. The fish in Bristol Bay are, on average, quite a bit smaller. And I think a lot of the processors had to recalibrate their machines, pinball machines, because of that.
Yeah, that's just all that is to me, probably, is a way to just get a longer gill net.
Yeah, right. right. But I think the combination of air types would be very problematic. But that's just my opinion.
So I'll oppose this.
I'm going to say we oppose that by unanimous consent. Any objection? No objection? Okay, we're opposing. The last one is if that's to increase commercial fishing time, I'm going to recommend we oppose that. Any questions on that one? And that would be proposal number 152. Virgil, you had a comment?
No, I don't have a comment.
Okay. They want to
increase your fishing area, so we ought to oppose it.
Right. So I'm going to say that we're going to oppose that by unanimous consent. Any objection? Hearing none, we're going to oppose. Okay, so my final comment here on these proposals is that we should attach a commentary to any of the proposals that are seeking to increase fishing time. During this time in particular, that just seems outrageous to me. And I would like for this group to consider a comment on that, if you are so inclined. Anybody have a comment they want to throw out there?
What were you looking for a comment on, Gail?
Just to emphasize that any of the proposals that seek to increase fishing time in Area M are, this is the wrong time to be having that conversation at all.
I agree.
And based on a conservation concern.
And that's that you've made the comment yourself, and just you need to write that up into a sentence or two and add it on.
Okay, we'll do that. And that finishes up all our proposals. Everybody.
Yeah, Gail, this is Al.
Go ahead, Al.
Yeah, so you were bringing up the roadmap. And so, you know, proposal 134, and historically, if I look at how board support, originally, you know, it's not, the proposals come in, they don't just assign them a number and put them in order as they come in. They kind of group them which one will potentially lead as the group of proposals. So 134 and 138 are in front of 140. I believe if you don't try to lobby the vice chair and the chair and board support executive director, that your proposal 140 is going to be in the third place position.
Okay, that's a good comment. So I would ask the AC members if you want to put in a separate letter from the subcommittee suggesting that very thing. So, Mike Kramer? or Mike Tinker.
Yeah, this is Virgil. I have something to say about just kind of a closing comment on tonight, and that is I got sent on a big issue like this, the board has to write findings. And so they wrote findings, but the attorney, you could tell their attorney wrote it, for what they did in 2004 when they dismantled the management plan and Ed Dersham was chair.
I have that. I just printed that out today, Virgil. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, anyway, I read it today because a lady from Chignik sent it to me. I can't remember her name, but it's on the computer here. But I read that, and it just brought my memory back and infuriated me. But it was they passed that by a 4-3 vote. And the three people that voted against it was the two Nelsons. And the one, Nelson, is now the executive director of the Board of Fish that voted against it. That's Art Nelson. And then, of course, the other Nelson was from Dillingham. And then the other person was the dentist from Fairbanks that was on the board at the time. Those were the three no votes. But, so, I think I'm going to call Art up, Art Nelson, and Juno. Tomorrow, and I'm going to talk to him about this because at the time, I don't know if he was this at the time or not, but he had been working for the Kowarik, you know, the Native Corporation out of Nome.
Right.
For Norton Sound as their fish person. And he had been, you know, involved in all this area in Hassel for a number of years. Actually, for Kowarik, and he worked with me a lot when I was on the Board of Fish. And so, reading that thing and then remembering what went on, and see, because we made the Nome Subdistrict, when I was on the board, they were the only Tier 2 fishery in the state. They were Tier 2 for chum salmon, and we went up to Nome and held that meeting in Nome. It was Trefon Anguson's last meeting before he got off the Board of Fish when we did that. But anyway, I'm going to call Art and have a conversation with him about this. And then is the chair of the board still on right now? I know she was earlier.
Yes, she is. Yes.
She is? Good. Anyway, so that's what I think needs to happen.
Mm-hmm.
She needs to call Art and talk to him, and I'm going to call Art and talk to him.
Yeah, I pulled up that policy recommendation today, too. I was looking through the board findings.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm still on here, Virgil, and I've been working on the roadmap, so this is a timely conversation.
Yeah.
Oh, it doesn't have anything to do with the roadmap. It's me.
Just you? Okay. Well, we should have 140 on there. When I read that finding, it's 9 pages long, it just infuriates me. The false statements made in it about it complying with the sustainable salmon fishery, the precautionary principle, and all this other crap. It just totally infuriates me because I'm the person that it was Dr. White and myself and Robin Sanderson from Bristol Bay that caused that policy to be written. And we spent 4 years doing it. And it just infuriates me to have to read crap like that. And especially when I know that his picture, when they passed that, he had on his website for his sport fishing site, Ed Dersham, he had Brad Barr, the president of Concerned Area and Fishermen, 2 pictures of him holding up king salmon he caught while fishing with Ed Dersham.
Yeah, I remember that.
And that was an absolute total conflict of interest.
I think we had real good notes, lots of good comments today on all these proposals. I'd be happy to help you, draft up comments reflecting the views expressed at this meeting.
Oh, I would very much, I very much appreciate that, Mike. That would be wonderful.
And that way we can express our priority for 140, you know, our general priority for any restriction on the bean fishery, and capture the comments here tonight. I'll be happy to work with you on it. I think that'll move on tonight.
I would very much appreciate that. Thank you. Okay, last call for member comments, and then we'll go to public comments. Do members want to make any final comments for tonight? Okay, does anybody in the public like to make some comments, final comments for tonight?
Yeah, Gail is out.
Al, go ahead.
Yeah, just to reiterate, you know, these proposals as they're assigned a proposal number just isn't arbitrarily. They almost are set in how they'll be set in the roadmap. So proposal 140 is in third place. So if you want to move that up, I think it's going to take some emails or some letters to the, at least to the chair. I mean, that's who's responsible for the roadmap.
Yeah, we'll so noted since she is here tonight. And I just for everybody's information, the process will be I'll work with Mike Kramer and whoever else from the AC wants to help with commentary on this and get those proposals in. I do have to get the minutes done because the minutes have to go with our recommendations. They have to be submitted by February 3rd. I'd like to get them done by the end of January for sure. And then we will take them to the full AC meeting in February for approval. And then that will be sent in as an RC, a record copy, to the board that the full AC has approved the recommendations from the subcommittee. So that's the process we'll be following.
Make sure none of the hairs are pulled, but okay.
Okay. Comment? Anybody have any more comments? And we certainly appreciate everybody's involvement tonight and all your comments. They've been really helpful. I'd like to find out who phone number ending in 069 is. You can identify yourself.
That's still me, Gail. Rachel Allen.
Okay, sorry, Rachel. Yeah, that's fine. I do have another phone number that has not been identified. That's the Tacoma area code. They are no longer on the call. What we're going to do is we're going to have a meeting on February 6th of the subcommittee. That's our regularly scheduled meeting. And we'll be talking more about the testimony and everything for Area M and also for the statewide. Kyle, you're fine. You're good. He just said he had a malfunction on his head, but thank you. Any last questions or comments?
Hey, Ms. Gail, it's Chris. I apologize for interrupting earlier. I wanted to say thanks to everybody on this board. You know, a lot of people don't know all the hard work goes into it, you know, how all the decisions get made. And at some moment, you guys probably ought to, like, explain that to the public how all this happens, because if I hadn't been invited to any of this, I'd have had no idea how rules get made and changed. And this has been pretty eye-opening. And I do appreciate all the hard work that goes into it.
Oh, thank you, Chris, and we appreciate your participation. That's what it's really all about, is educating the public. And I'll tell you, even for members, it's an education all the time, no matter how long you've been there. You learn something all the time. And we do want to encourage members of the public. I see Craig's on here representing his group. Craig, did you have any comment that you wanted to make real quickly?
Thank you, Gail. Following up with Chris, really appreciate all the time and effort that this AC and other ACs have put into this future Board of Fish meetings. It is really, really good to hear everybody's thoughts and how informative these meetings can be. So really appreciate all the work. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for joining us. Okay, and I think that will be it. We're going to be our next regular meeting is February 6th, and that will be at the same time at 6 p.m., and that will all of our subcommittee meetings will be by Zoom. But the regular meetings will be will be a hybrid meeting. So with that, I want to say good night and thank you very much to everybody. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, Gail. Thanks for all the work that you guys do.
Well, thank you too. Always, and especially to Kyle. He puts up with a lot. Thank you so much, Kyle.
You're very welcome.
Okay.
Fulfilling your evening in Ketchikan. Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, good. 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 Yeah, talk to you soon, Al. Thank you.
Yeah, bye.
Thanks, Gail.
Okay, night.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good night.